Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati 2019 first nine months results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tacchi, Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon or good morning to everyone, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call. Here with me today are Andrea Recordati and Fritz Guindo, who will be presenting and commenting upon our first nine months 2019 results. For a better understanding of his presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investors section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Please go ahead, Andrea.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Good afternoon and good morning, or good morning to everyone. I can start by saying that we're very pleased with our first 9 months results, which show continued growth. Consolidated revenue is up to 1.1 billion euros, and which is about 8.6% above last year, and includes sales generated by Natural Point, which was consolidated from July 1st, 2018, of 9.7 million, which are the sales generated by, these are the Natural Point sales. Also by the sales generated by Tonic Farm, which was acquired at the end of 2018 and consolidated from 1st of January 2019, of 18.8 million, and sales of Juxtapid, which we acquired the license for in February 2019 in Japan, with 6.9 million euros of sales. In addition to an estimated negative currency exchange rate of 3.1 million euros. Excluding these items, growth would have been of 5.4% on the previous year. EBITDA at 37.2% of sales is at 409.6 million euros, up 7.8% on last year. Operating income is at 32.1% of sales at 353.5 million euros, an increase of 4.9% over last year. Net income is at 23.1% of sales, and is at 253.7 million, an increase of 6.6% over the same period of last year. Net debt is of 498.7 million, compared to a net debt of 588.4 million on the 31st December 2018. During this period, the period dividends were distributed for an amount of 96.1 million. An amount of 30 million was paid for the license agreement from Algerian Pharmaceuticals for Juxtapid in Japan, and 14 million were paid as milestones to Helsin for the license agreement of Ledaga. Furthermore, the application of IFRS 16 gave rise to medium long-term debt of 25.9 million. Regarding our corporate development activities during the period, the license agreement was signed with Helsin for the exclusive commercialization of Ledaga and with Algerian for Juxtapid in Japan. This is a very important, especially, well, both drugs are very important for us, but Juxtapid fitted very well with our entry in the Japanese market, as it gave us critical mass. And it is very, therefore, very important for the development of this recently established subsidiary for our rare disease business. Companies operating under the name of the Orphan Europe have renamed to Recordati Rare Diseases in order to kind of create a global brand for this franchise. Most recently, on October 23rd of this month, we finally closed the acquisition with Novartis for the worldwide rights to Signifor, Signifor-LAR, and for the treatment of Cushing's disease and acromegaly, and also for obviously the rights of Ozilodostat. And so we're very excited about this, and obviously we're moving on with the execution of the integration and this ramp up to get ready to kind of distribute this product worldwide and launch Ozilodostat when this would be approved. This is obviously a very strategic significant strategic transaction for Recordati, and we're, as I said, very excited about it. So let's move to the next slide, to slide three, where we represent the same slides that were actually utilized in the analyst call at the end of July 2019, just to kind of recap on the key highlights of the Novartis endocrinology franchise acquisition. So the key highlights are obviously it's a complementary to our portfolio. We enter into the high growth endocrinology market. These are orphan designated drugs. They have good IP protection. They require limited additional R&D spend and have global and perpetual intellectual property rights. More specifically regarding Signifor, it has IP protection until 2026, estimated around $75 million of revenues in 2019 with above average EBITDA margins and with peak potential sales of $100 million. And it's an orphan drug designation in the U.S. and Europe. Regarding LCI 699, osilodrostat, it has IP protection until 2031. Marketing authorization applications have been filed in European Union and the USA, with potential approval expected in 2020 in Europe and 2022 in the U.S. at the latest. Orphan drug designation in the U.S. and Europe, and we expect potential peak sales of about $100 million. Moving on to the next slide, just to recap the transaction snapshot. The deal purchase price required an upfront cash consideration of $390 million and will also imply regulatory milestones in addition to royalties on net sales contingent approval upon approval and market access of Lodrostat. The funding was funded by existing liquidity and new debt facilities obtained in July. We believe this has an acceptable pro forma net debt to EBITDA level leverage, leaving room for deeper M&A. And the timing, as I mentioned previously, the closing took place on the October 23rd, 2019. So I will leave the floor to Fritz, who will actually take you through the first 9 month results of the company.
Thank you, Andrea. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. More in detail in our sales performance, starting with the comments of our main product sales, and let me say that we have the performance of our corporate products in line with our expectations. As usual, we start with the performance of lercanidipine and zanidip. Sales are up by 6.9% thanks to the repatriation of license rights in some countries, but also thanks to the increase of sales in China, in Australia, in the Central and Eastern European market. Then we continue to have a good performance from our proprietary product, lercanidipine. For regarding the combination, then the sales of Zanipress, which is the combination between lercanidipine and enalapril, then the sales are down due to the competition of the generic version, as expected. In the first now decreased by 3.8%, but this is a very positive performance, and we expect in particular thanks to the performance in the last quarter, the sales to be essentially stabilized. Urorec, Silodes in sales are growing and are up by 8.6%, and this is due to the good performance of the product in all the main markets. Sales of Livazo, the brand of pitavastatina, grow by 16.3%, and here again, this is due to the good performance of the product in all the main markets, and in particular in Turkey, Russia, and in Spain. Then we have our corporate Celoken is essentially stable, a bit better than was the performance in the first 6 months. Going then to the other corporate products are up by 13.8% and include the initial launches sales of Reagila, the new treatment for the schizophrenia. This line, this group of products include 23 products which are sold in multiple territories, 8 of which are OTC products, and among these OTC products, worth mentioning the continued very good performance of Procter-Glyvenol in all the Central and Eastern European markets. Then, our specialties, which are indicated for the treatment of rare diseases, generated sales of 177.1 million during the period, which an increase of 8.7% despite the competition from a generic version of Cosmogen in the United States. Then, also for rare disease, we continue our trend of growing our sales. We can now move on slide six, in which we present the breakdown of our revenue by type of product, just again to underline that our corporate products, including also rare diseases, account for 67.6% of our revenue. We are progressively building a portfolio which is a multi-territorial portfolio in our company. Slide number seven, this slide shows sales performance by geography, and let me underline that we have a positive performance in all the countries except North Africa, in which we are impacted by some limitation of importation in Algeria, but overall a very good performance in all our territories. Sales in Italy are up by 7.1%, and here is worth mentioning the good performance of Urorec, Cardicor, as well as the sales of Natural Point, in particular Magnesio Supremo, which is the most important brand of this company, the company we have acquired in June 2018, and in particular Magnesio Supremo sales are growing thanks to the management of Magnesio Supremo by our commercial organization. Pharmaceutical sales in France are up by 19.3%, and these include the addition of the product, as Andrea said, of Gincor and the portfolio of Tonipan, in particular the two most important brands, which are Gincor and Aludon. We have acquired this company at the end of last year. In Germany, sales are substantially unchanged compared with those of the same period of the preceding year, but here I would like to underline sales of Reagila, the new drug for the treatment of schizophrenia, which has been launched in 2018, which is doing a good performance in Germany. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS countries is 83.6 million, which are up by 11.3% compared to the same period of the preceding year, and include an estimated currency exchange gain. Then, in the past, it was more common to present losses in terms of exchange rate, but in this year we are benefiting from a positive exchange rate, which could be estimated in 1.1 million. But even if we exclude this exchange rate, sales in Russia, in local currency, are up by 9.3%. And here I think it's worth mentioning the significant growth of all our corporate products. We are talking about Urorec, Livazo, Procter-Glyvenol, as I said before, Zanidip, and Domexin. The business in the USA is only dedicated to the treatment of rare diseases. Sales in the first nine months in the US are in euro 78.3 million and are up by 4.4%. In local currency, are up by 0.5%. The growth of the main product, in particular of Carbaglu and Cystadane, has offset the reduction of sales of Cosmogen due, as I said, to the competition from a generic version. Sales in Spain are 69.2 million, are up by 7.4%, and this is an organic growth mainly due to the performance of all our most important products in the portfolio. Sales in Turkey are up by 13.4% in euro and include a negative currency effect, which could be estimated here in 9.3 million. But it's worth mentioning the performance in local currency, and in local currency, sales of our Turkish subsidiary grow by 5%. 32.3%, and here again, thanks to the good performance of all our corporate products, as well as also some important local brands. Regarding the other geography, I think it's worth mentioning the significant increase in sales in the other European countries, which is mainly due to the growth of sales in Poland, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and Baltic, which has linked to the good performance of Metoprolol in particular in this market. We have our international sales, which are up by 1.3%, which is mainly due to the good performance of the treatment of rare diseases in the rest of the world, and particularly to the sales in Japan, thanks to the new acquired product of Juxtapid. As I said at the beginning, a good performance in all the markets except North Africa. Slide number eight. This graph shows the geographical breakdown of our pharmaceutical revenue, and let me say that there is no changes compared what was the breakdown in the previous presentation. Now we can move on slide nine, in which we can present more in detail our first nine months result in terms of P&L. Sales, we have already analyzed our revenue for the period. Move on to gross profit. Gross profit is 771.3 million, with a margin of 70.1% on sales, which is slightly lower compared to that of the same period of the preceding year, which is due to the price and currency effect and a product mix. Selling expenses increased by 9.3%, which is a slight increase as a percentage of revenue compared to the same period of preceding year. This is due, this increase of our sales, which is higher than our selling expenses, which is higher than our sales. This is mainly driven by the marketing expenses for the launch of Reagila. We are in the launch phase of Reagila. We are investing in the new product. The new market, new commercial organization in the Nordic countries, Benelux and Baltic, we have decided to have our own commercial organization also in this part of Europe, and also to the initial reinforcement of the organization dedicated for the rare disease segment, follow the addition of the new important product, and also in particular as the initial phase of the reinforcement that we have to do for the launch of the two assets acquired from Novartis. We have our R&D expenses, which are 91.6 million and are up by 15.3 million due to advancement of the new development program, but also to the amortization of the amount allocated to intangible assets from the acquisition of Natural Point and Tonifarm, and also the amortization of the upfront payment for the recently acquired licenses for the rare disease product, Ledaga and Juxtapid. G&A expenses are up by 6.6%, but are slightly reduced as a percentage of sales. Now let me comment on our EBITDA. EBITDA at 37.2% of sales is in the period 409.6 million, with an increase of 7.8%. In terms of amortization charges, the amortization charges for the period are 37.8 million, and this with an increase which is due, as I said, of the intangible of the asset we have acquired in the last period. We have also our depreciation charges, which are increasing and are for the period 18.3 million, and include the application of new accounting principles, IFRS 16. Net financial charges are essentially in line. We have our net financial charges are 16 million, and this increase of 2.2 is mainly due to the recognition in the P&L of the fair value of two cross-currency swaps following the early termination of one loan in the U.S. market. The effective tax rate during the period is 24.8%, 8% lower than that of the preceding year. We are slightly reducing our tax rate. Let me again finish presenting our net income. Net income at 23.1% as a percentage of sales is 253.7 million, and we have an increase in our net income, an increase of 6.6%, which is very positive performance. We can move on slide number 10. This slide show the split of revenues, EBITDA and EBIT between our two business segments. EBITDA margin are 49.6% for the rare disease segment and 34.9% for the specialty and primary care segment. EBIT margin are 45.5% for the rare disease segment and 29.6% for the specialty and primary care. Regarding the EBIT margin, there is a slight reduction, which is for both the two business, for the rare disease segment, but in the specialty and primary care segment. Number 11 is the slide in which we present our net financial position. Net financial position, as has been presented by Andrea at the beginning, show a net debt of 498.7 million compared to net debt at the end of last year of 588.4 million. We have reduced our net financial position in the period by 89.7 million. It's worth mentioning that during the period, we have paid dividend by 96.9 million, and we have also paid $30 for the license agreement with Agerion, and we have paid 40 euro for the milestone that we have paid to Eisai for the license of Livdelzi. As Andrea said, there is also a negative impact in our debt following the application of the new IFRS 16. We have generated a medium long-term liability of 25.9 million. Excluding all these items, it's worth again mention that we continue to generate a very strong cash flow in this period. Now we can move on the last slide in which we, as usual, we present our targets. Based on the good performance in the first nine months, we confirm our revenue and margin targets. We have a revenue target between 1.460 billion and 1.480 billion, which is the same that we have announced. EBITDA between 535 million and 545 million. We have an EBIT margin expected as a target to be between 460 million and 470 million, and our net income between 330 million and 335 million. Here I finish my presentation. Thank you for your attention, and now we are available for any question we may have. Please go ahead.
Operator, could you please open the question and answer section?
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Chris Ryan of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is just on the CFO role change. Could you give more detail on that? In what ways is the business becoming more complex? The second question is, what right now are the approval expectations for the aceclidine drug? Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. Thank you for your questions, Chris. The first question regarding the CFO, this is simply a reinforcement of reorganization. The company is growing, is becoming more complex, and we felt that we needed to, or I felt that I needed to reinforce the top management team of a group to
to better support this growth and the new complexity that we need to manage, being the company larger and with obviously very ambitious growth expectations. So what we obviously in agreement with Fritz Squindo, we started to look for, which I would like to remind everybody, was not only acting as CFO, but was also managing director of the company, and has always supported myself and the top management team on anything that goes from business development, strategy, and evaluating new business opportunities and so forth. So, and he will keep and remain in following this role at my side. But we, as I said, we felt that we needed to reinforce the organization, so we started looking around through very structured and formal recruiting process, and we came across a candidate, Mr. Luigi Lacorte, which we felt ticked all the boxes due to his international experience and established experience also in the pharmaceutical industry with blue chip companies such as GSK and AstraZeneca, not only in Italy, but also on the international scene. If that, hopefully that answers your question, Chris?
Yes, I mean, is there any change in financing strategy, could you say, going forward versus how the company has typically been capitalized?
No, nothing changes from the perspective.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on to your next question. So I'll divide it by U.S. and Europe, okay? Because obviously they follow different processes. So the European Commission formal approval is expected in Q1 2020, okay? This will be followed by the market access process, country by country, like it's normal in Europe. So we can expect a gradual launch rollout starting in 2020 across different countries in Europe, and obviously and beyond as we gain reimbursement status in the different markets. So that covers Europe for Ozilodostat. Regarding the USA, in our business plan, we have cautiously assumed a launch in the USA in 2022. Okay, this was due to the lack of clarity and as to whether the FDA will require us to submit the Link 4 study clinical data, which is still an ongoing study that on the product, which is being managed still by Novartis. This relevant, the clinical study report for this study, should they require it, is expected in Q3, Q4 2020, which then will imply a launch and Q4 2021, Q1 2022. However, as I'm sure some of you are aware, we have a PDUFA date in March 2020. Next year. And so we feel that we might have more visibility on the actual FDA requirements regarding the necessity of submitting the data of the Link 4 study at that time, and therefore the final launch timing.
Could I squeeze in one more? Just can you give the split between the expected sales between the US and Europe?
We don't tend to disclose that sort of information, especially on a product which has not even been launched yet. So we expect peak potential sales to be above $100 million worldwide, but at this moment in time, we are not disclosing any more details on this.
Understood. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
The next question is from Dominique Loon of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello, it's Jo Walton from Credit Suisse. I've just got a few questions, please. As you move more into the specialty products, I guess we're going to focus more on their performance. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about how Reglia, for example, is doing, Juxtapid. Just give us some sense of how you're being able to build up that, the specialty infrastructure there. Could you also give us a little bit more as to why you think you'll be able to grow the Signifor and Signifor LAR franchise? It's been around for a while and hasn't been growing that fast, and yet you think you can expand that in an increasingly competitive market. Is it that you have spotted doctors who you think would use the product who haven't been detailed about it, or why do you think you'll continue to be able to get some growth. And my final question, at least in this round, would be to try and get a sense of what you think your R&D spend will be in the next year or so. I note that a lot of your R&D expense is actually taken up with the charge for the amortization of intangible assets. So actually, the cash research spend on new products is really still quite limited. Could you share with us some of your ambition as to where you would like that sort of cash R&D spend to be in a couple of years' time? Many thanks.
Hello, Joe. I thought it was a bit weird that you were not on the call. So let me start with, if I understood correctly, you kind of went a bit quick there. Juxtapid Japan and how the product is performing.
That's just the infrastructure that we've created.
And the infrastructure that we've created. Juxtapid, but you did mention Juxtapid in Japan. As an example. Okay, well, obviously in Juxtapid Japan, we had already set up the organization and we reinforced it based on the new targets that we had to visit it because, you know, promoting Juxtapid implied an expansion of the targets to be visited by our ODS, our orphan drug specialists in the Japanese market. I can tell you that the product is actually performing beyond our expectations or in line just above our expectations, so we're very pleased with this. Going to instead your question is more around endocrinology and what we're doing to set up ourselves to obviously take on this product and make them a success. Goes without saying that obviously we did not have a presence in endocrinology until now. So we are in the process of reinforcing the organization both on a worldwide level by creating, obviously, depending on the markets, some markets require more dedicated endocrinology sort of business units. See, for example, the U.S., where we are also smaller compared to Europe with our reach to the market in the first place. So this is what is going on in the U.S. We're setting up a specialized, dedicated BU around the endocrinology franchise, and we're obviously recruiting people with specific expertise and competence around this area. And in Europe, we are obviously recruiting people with endocrinology experience, both on the field to reinforce ourselves where we need to reinforce ourselves, but also, let's say, at a corporate level in order to bring expertise around this area. And this goes from medical, regulatory, to strategic marketing and operational marketing. So we are moving, and we're obviously very much aware that we did not have this expertise in-house, but we had the opportunity to actually, at this moment in time, to actually gain a lot of expertise from the outside. So we're actually on track on that, and we are very satisfied of how we're progressing on this front. The other question was...
how can we continue to grow it?
Okay, no, but that's a simple answer. Novartis had abandoned the promotion of this product for some time. More recently in Europe, I'd say more than a year, but in the U.S., now we're probably approaching nearly 3 years of non-promotion of the assets. So we believe, especially like you mentioned, in a competitive scenario these products are present, that obviously this lack of promotion, but I'm talking about complete lack of promotion, obviously had an impact on the performance of the products, which, however, are extremely still appreciated by the physician community and are still seen as a key element in the treatment of these diseases. So we believe that, you know, by putting this product back into promotion with the necessary investments and promotional spend and share of voice, we believe that we can definitely start putting this product back on a growth trajectory. The last question, I hope that answers your question. The last question was regarding R&D, and I will let Fritz give you an answer on that one.
Okay. Then regarding our R&D, the question was related to a target in terms of the cash part of these R&D expenses, which, as you know, include also the amortization charges for the asset that we have bought. Let's say that, as usual, R&D expenditure, in particular this cash part, is mainly driven by our program rather than as a specific objective as a percentage of sales. And then I cannot give you a target in term of cost in term as a percentage of sales. I can comment on this, what we expect. We expect also this part of the R&D going forward to increase. We expect for sure the amortization charges to increase based on the amortization of the Novartis asset, but also the cash part we expect to increase, driven by both the current advancement of the new development program, which are moving progressively in terms of development phase in our pipeline, but also to the cost which are linked to the development and the reinforcement of the new asset that we have acquired from Novartis. Then, overall, as a general comment, we expect these costs to increase going forward, also in the cash part.
Thank you. And in case you're handing over your investor relations responsibilities to the new CFO, may I thank you for all of the calls that you've done for us in the past.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Joe, you're still be seeing straight. Don't worry.
I will continue to be present.
The next question is from Bruno Permutti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A few questions. The first one, if you can give us an indication of the organic growth of the first 9 months, and if 4% organic growth you see as a sustainable rate for 2020-2021. A second one was on Reagila. If you can give us an indication of the amount of sales in the 9 months, and the last one is on the distribution network organization. I don't know if I have well understood. You had a reorganization in Northern Europe. I want to understand what you imagine for the future, if you have some other changes that you are planning in the distribution network, and if you have some costs related to this, and also eventual benefits you expect for the next years.
The first question was into organic growth. The organic growth in the period, as Recordati said in the presentation, was 5.4% if we exclude contribution from the acquisition and also the negative effect impact. This is a very solid performance, which is in line a bit better that was included in our in our business plan, but we have announced a CAGR in term of in our business plan in term of organic growth, and what we expect in 2020 probably this growth will be lower because we have to face the generic competition of Rurek and Pitavastatin, and then going forward, we expect in 21 to start again to grow probably to the level that we have achieved in 2000. And we are achieving now in the first 9 months, and we expect to achieve it during the full year 2019. Reagira sales in the first 9 months are around 5 million euro, which means that we continue to start growing the business. It's important to say that now we have the addition of two new important markets in which we have now launched the drug. These are Spain and Portugal, in which we have a very solid presence. And then we continue to believe that Reagila is a very good product with a delay in terms of uptake, driven mainly by a more complex market access than what was expected, not in terms of price reimbursement, but in some market is very important for this type of product, also the inclusion in the different formula. Then?
And distribution network organizations in Northern Europe, if we're going to do more of that?
Northern Europe.
No, we have now established our own presence in this market, thanks to the repatriation of some our corporate products, and in particular thanks to the Metoprolol sales, and now these will are subsidiary which we expect to develop in line with all the other parts of our business.
Any changes in the future? Organization.
No, we,
regarding our commercial organization, was a question regarding commercial organizations.
Yes, correct.
Well, they're, obviously the changes are in place based around any additional M&A activity, business development activities that might come in the future. So at the moment, this moment in time, we're not planning to reinforce the commercial organizations in this area.
For the specialty in primary care.
For the specialty in primary care. Obviously, for the endocrinology, I went through it extensively in the previous question. Answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks for taking my question. I have three, actually. The first one is on organic growth. If my calculation is correct, you posted high single-digit organic growth in the third quarter, so I was wondering whether there was some kind of phasing in some countries affecting this performance, and if it is not the case, whether we should assume an organic growth in full year 19 a touch above the usual, the rhythm seen by the business plan in the region of 4.5%. Second question is on your 2021 target on EBIT margin. Is the target of 33% still valid? And if it is the case, when we should expect to see some kind of inflection point on the trajectory of EBIT margin, which has been eroding in the past 3-4 quarters? And last question is on net debt. Where do you see it by the end of 2019? I acknowledge you have no guidance on this, but I see on Bloomberg a consensus in the region of 900 million euros, including the cash out for Juxtapid, and I was wondering whether this number leave you confident to deliver expectation.
Okay, then. The first question was linked to the organic growth in the third quarter. Is it correct?
Yes.
In this quarter. Okay, yes. Then. Okay, in this quarter, we have a very solid organic growth, which is driven by all our portfolio. But as usual, we don't believe one quarter is something that could be extrapolated as a long-term trend. And then we confirm that for us it's more in line with our expectation what we have achieved for the full 9 months. We are very pleased by this 5.4 organic growth, and this is what you could expect for the full year. Regarding our objective in terms of EBIT margin, then we will release a new business plan next year, probably in May, but for the time being, for sure, we confirm our EBIT margin. Then you will see now a slight reduction of this EBIT margin, which is mainly driven by the type of acquisition we are now closing. We are closing acquisition in which there are important asset and important amortization charges, and also we are in the initial phase of the launch of Osilodrostat and relaunching of Signifor and Signifor LAR, which require reinforcement and not are immediately accretive in terms of EBIT margin. We expect to be essentially in line in terms of EBITDA margin, but EBIT margin not necessarily accretive. But this we expect to be the impact in the first period, and then today we confirm our margin, which, as you know, include also an acquisition for 2021. No changes for regarding our target in our business plan. Regarding net debt, Yes, we are absolutely confident with the number that is in the consensus of Bloomberg. When we expect our net debt to be around 900 million euro at the end of the year.
Very clear. Many thanks.
Bye.
The next question is from Giorgio Tavolini of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. I would like to ask you what's behind the pharmaceutical chemical sales that in the third quarter, for the first time, had a 10.4 drop year over year. Thank you.
Okay, here again. Then we prefer to comment the overall performance. This is one business which is supplying to other pharmaceutical companies and sometimes stock building, stock or the stocking of these companies has an impact in the quarter. Then no concern, then we believe that you have to keep as a base for the evaluation of the performance of this business, the performance in the 9 month result. Then we don't believe that in particular for
phasing effect,
nothing which is significant for the business.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
The next question is a follow-up from Dominic Luna of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, just three quick ones. Given that you have a PDUFA date for Oslidrostat for next year, have you had any indication as to whether they're actually actively considering this and perhaps giving you an adcom, or, you know, so I would expect you to have an idea before March as to whether the FDA actually requires the additional data or not. Have you managed to bring on board any of the people with an intimate knowledge of these products from Novartis, or are you taking just the products with absolutely no people from it? And could you also give us an update on the Carbaglu generics? You were suffering from the genericization there. What level of erosion you got to with the generics? Has it all gone? Has it reached a stable level? How should we think of that business going forwards? Cosmogen.
Okay, thank you. Cosmogen, we were surprised.
Yes. I was going to ask you about the progress for expanding the indication for Carbaglu.
Okay. So first question. So regarding endocrinology, recruitment of people, I start with the second one. I can tell you that obviously it was sort of implicit in the explanation. I guess it wasn't that implicit, that the recruitment is we are recruiting and reinforcing organization with people that obviously have an expertise around this area, and obviously some of these people are coming from Novartis because obviously they divested the business, and so there is a bit of movement on that front. So this is obviously an opportunity that we couldn't miss, and we are pursuing it. The first question instead was
the PDUFA date.
The PDUFA date giving you, possibly. It's a bit difficult to say, Joe. We might have some feedback before the March 2020 PDUFA date from the FDA, but we are not counting on it 100%. So, but sure, at the PDUFA date time, we will have a full visibility if this link for study is required or is not. Okay. Last but not least, Cosmogens is close to steady state, and basically it is obviously being impacted, like we've already declared, by the generic penetration, but not extensively beyond what we were expecting.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. You're welcome.
Mr. Ricordati, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time and for your questions, and have a good evening or a good day, depending on when you are. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.